episode 82 of Drunk on Comics. And you guys know where to drown a hipster? In the mainstream. Oh, yeah. High five on that one.
I think that's going to... I can't leave you hanging.
I'm leaving you hang all day on that one.
Oh, I would have told you guys a construction joke, but I was still working on it.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, wow. I am not drunk enough for this level of humor. Yeah, hi. This is Drunk on Comics, our weekly podcast where we discuss comics and, oh, sometimes collecting and sometimes industry news. And weeks like this where there wasn't a whole lot of news and there wasn't a whole lot of comics.
It's like there was this holiday this week or something.
Yeah, I don't know. So we got some extra stuff in here this week.
Yes, we do.
What'd you guys get for Christmas?
I don't know.
That's extra stuff. Did you get anything nerdy cool?
No.
I got a Nerf gun sniper rifle that shoots like 100 feet. It's pretty cool.
Dude, I got a thermostat.
A thermostat?
I got a thermostat for my home.
Getting old sucks.
No, it's badass. It's called Nest. And
oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, it fucking learns your patterns. And then, of course, I got it on my smartphone, my tablet. And
welcome to Old-Timey Podcast.
So now I can... I could turn the heat down on Lauren while I'm like in Atlantic City or somewhere else. Why is it 50? Why can't I see my breath?
That's awesome. I didn't really get much.
Sorry, Tony, what did you get?
Shelves.
No, ended up not getting shelves. Yeah.
Santa must have thought you were bad.
No, I mean, I got some really cool stuff, but nothing that was like really nerdy.
Got a vacuum.
Yeah.
And the one of the coolest
the vacuum really sucks.
Did you get a fan? That blows.
Got this really cool 4-pack of Guardians of the Galaxy, which is badass, and some Legos, and
I love that
the Nerf gun.
I love that we're still getting toys.
Yeah.
Jeez. Now I got the best thing I got was this really awesome nerdy shirt that says Caverns and Rabbits, and it's Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But the cover, it looks like the original box cover from the Dungeons & Dragons set, the red box set.
Yeah.
Even as far as, like, where the characters are positioned in the art and stuff. So the artist did a really nice job of capturing the image of that first one and then putting into something really nerdy.
That's so uber nerdy, it makes up for Derek not getting anything nerdy.
I love that shirt.
Yeah, I mean, I did get, actually... Like, what? Because a lot of times my parents and my family members, you know, they just don't know what to get me because I'm weird. And so we've kind of gotten to the point now where there's a lot of exchanging money. And so, like, my dad likes to go fishing, and so he gets fishing bucks. So I get nerd bucks. So, I mean, I did get quite a bit of cash for the nerd bucks. But that's stuff that I... going to stash away, and then I take it to when we go to all the different conventions and I have money to play with. So, all right, well, should we move along to our big reveal of the year?
Yeah, I guess it's something that we've talked about doing for quite a while. It's something I've wanted to do for definitely over a year, and we've finally now decided to
actually do it. We sobered up enough to organize and...
We shit or got off the pot.
Yeah.
I think we shit on this one, but
yeah, as we said, there's not a lot that we're going to talk about this week that came out, so might as well throw in the Drunkian nominations for the Drunky Awards.
Yeah, first annual
Drunky Awards.
Oh, why didn't we do Best Annual?
God damn it!
Isn't that an oxymoron in most cases?
Well,
wouldn't that be a one shot?
Yeah. No.
Wait, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
We have some categories that the Drunk on Comics guys and some of our writer friends and some select others that make up the Academy of Drunkards are going to be voting on here in the next few weeks. And sometime in the near future, we will have a podcast to tell you all about who won the Drunky Awards.
Yeah. About roughly 2 weeks.
Yeah.
From now, we'll once we get all the votes tallied, because that's going to take a little while, and it's actually going to be legit
yep.
on here. So
And so we're gonna today. We're just gonna tell you guys what the nominees are and the categories.
And for regular listeners, if you really want to chime in on this, you know, argue your point. You might sway a vote or two.
This is true. Easily swayed, especially by money
and beer.
Yes, and beer. Yeah. Well, money for beer.
Tony, do you want to start?
I didn't write down everything that I thought we talked about. Luckily, though, some other people did.
Some other people or one other people?
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Sorry. Derek, thank you for being our secretary today. We're going to start off all the time.
Wait, we write stuff down?
It's all in the memory banks. First category that we got going is Best Ongoing Series. And for this category, it's something that means it's ongoing. And it's a series.
That, once again, is profound.
I'm pulling them today, man. We have nominated Daredevil, Saga, Superior Spider-Man, Batman 66, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Astro City. Matt, would you like to do the honors of the next category?
The next category is the best of miniseries.
Which that means not an ongoing.
Yeah, it means it's a small series. A limited run, if you will. And those the best miniseries would be Daredevil, End of Days, Six-Gun Gorilla, Trial of the Punisher, Helheim, Jimmy, and Trillium.
Not Jimmy, Journey.
Jimmy.
It says Jimmy on here.
Maybe it spell checked itself.
Is it? Oh, it's J-I-R-N-I?
Yes.
That R and N totally look like Jimmy. I was confused too. It's Journey.
Yeah. Maybe we should clarify some shit before.
Yeah. Moving right along.
Who put Jimmy on the teleprompter?
Seeing the world through drunk goggles. Is that what's going on? Yeah. So, best one shot. I don't know about these. No, fuck it. All right, so we got God Hates Astronauts.
Which I'm going to clarify, was a whole collection of a lot of stuff, and it's more than a one shot, but that's how I bought it. And, you know, because it was digital first, and then it was collected
by
Image.
You're talking about it like you nominated it or something.
Well, yeah, I did. But it's not a traditional one-shot, so I kind of felt like it needed a little bit of...
You're pleading its case.
I'm pleading its case for being in the category. It's still like... Because it didn't really fit in a lot of other places. Anyway.
That's what she said.
All right. TMNT, or... Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, if you're not familiar. Bebop and Rocksteady. We Can Fix It, a time travel memoir. Marvel, Now What? Yeah, I did that right. There was a question mark, exclamation point.
Yeah.
And finally, nominee for Best One Shot, The Swordmaster's Daughter. All right. Good luck. Good luck, contestants.
All right. We are on to Best Writer, which this one actually elicited some good conversation, just trying to whittle it down a little bit, because there's a hell of a lot of great writers out there this year. So, nominations, no particular order. Brian K. Vaughan, Brian Michael Bendis, Dan Slott, Mark Waid, Jonathan Hickman, Kieran Gillen, J.T. Krule, Greg Rucka, and Charles Soule.
Cool. Our next category is going to be the best artists. And in this category, again, there's so many great ones out there, so it's a little bit big. We have Fiona Staples, Ryan Stegman, Nick Dragotta.
Dragotta.
There's no one there. Dragotta. Dragotta. Let's call the whole thing off. Sorry. Nick Dragotta. Amy Reeder. David Mack. Chris Samney. Isab Ribic. And Greg Capullo. I said that right.
The second time, yes.
That's sick. Yeah. You guys know how good we are at pronouncing people's names.
And that's why I'm like, why the hell are you reaching for the artist one?
We were just breaking up the pattern, man.
Now I'm lost.
You're at best.
Well, you find.
Okay. Oh,
actually, yes. And if you would have written your own shit down, you wouldn't be so lost.
Fuck off. Best cover artists: Mark Brooks, Jake Scott Campbell.
Who?
J. Scott Campbell.
You said Jake.
You did say Jake.
Oh. Yeah.
J. Period. Scott. Period. Campbell. Exclamation point. Jenny Friesen.
Friesen.
Nia Rufino. And Alex Ross. I got that last one down.
Yeah, there you go. All right. For colorists, we have Jordy Belair, Val Staples, Dave Stewart, and Paul Mounts. So, and then now we get into more of the let's argue shit.
Yeah.
Categories.
What are we gonna
best argue? Hero.
Best hero. The best hero. Nah, you know, refresh my memory. Is this for this just the, this year? Year. Just
this calendar year. It's a 2013.
Right. Best hero. The nominees are.
That's gonna be super loud in people's ears.
Matt, why'd you do that?
Alright, here we go. Captain Marvel. Daredevil. Iron Man. Aquaman. Oh, yeah.
There's a question mark after that?
Superior Spider-Man. Batman. Superman. Excellent.
Now, I do want to point out that... that we have Superior Spider-Man listed as best hero. And, Tony, why don't you go to the next one, which is going to be, I think, our best villain category?
Best villains. Superior Spider-Man.
What?
Whoa, man, he's all over. He's like Leonardo DiCaprio. Gore the God Butcher, Thanos, Black Manta, Negan, and the Joker. Wow, Superior Spider-Man nominated for two... categories
two
there.
Different categories. And best anti-hero. Rick Grimes.
I'm Rick Grimes, bitch.
It's Forever Carlisle.
Carlisle.
There's an S in there. Wasn't the S pronounced? Forever Carlisle. Cyclops. And Superior Spider-Man.
No way, out of left field.
Yeah, Superior Spider-Man for us has been one of those really tricky characters to categorize. So we kind of nominated him both as hero, villain, and anti-hero. So
now, here's... Should we mention...
He will only get a win in one of those categories. Kind of whoever...
Theoretically, like let's say...
And theoretically, he doesn't win in any of the categories either, right. But...
But in theory, let's say that he did win all three.
Yeah.
We will give him the award for whichever one he received the most votes for.
Yeah. Only when that bitch comes and picks it up in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he ain't getting no award.
You really want him to show up in person?
And...
Who wouldn't, man? Fucking Spider-Man.
And we'll give him an award that's both ethereal for the ghost side of him and also mental for the cognitive side of him. So
there is no ghost side of him, so...
I don't know what you're talking about. Derek's mental.
Our next category is going to be Best Publisher. And this is going to be a write-in category because pretty much all the publishers are going to be nominated. And so what we want to know is, you know, which publisher do you think produced the best books this year?
Yeah, so when we send out the ballots, you'll be able to actually just write in whichever one you want on there. Last one we got is going to be our best new series for 2013.
Best new series
for 2013.
And the nominees are...
And a new series means that it was new and not old.
Thank you, Tony.
And a series means there was more than one of them. And that
they go in an order.
And yeah, and that it's like continuing in there, too. Yeah.
And best means best.
Like it was better than the others.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right.
All right.
This is the least entertaining awards nomination ceremony ever. Although
we're so excited about it.
Are nominations ever exciting?
No, I don't think so.
Just
if you're nominated, that's kind of cool. It's...
Or if you're the person that's up there on stage, you're like, "Ah, look at me." Yeah.
That was so cool. All right, hey, what's the best nominees for best new series?
All right, Afterlife with Archie,
winner.
All new X-Men.
Which
not winner.
That should win just the fact that it says it's new.
Yeah, it is new.
Lazarus, Uber, God is dead.
All right. Those are our nominees.
Yeah, if you don't like them, you're wrong.
Or if you don't like them, give us some feedback. Give us more feedback. In the future, next year when we do these again. But for this year, these are the nominees, so you're just going to have to deal with it.
Yay.
Yep. And listeners, when we have this, we also will have some other special awards, some a little more fun with it. We will definitely be bringing out the red carpet and having a blast doing that podcast. So hopefully you guys tune in. And
more like bringing out the red velvet. Let's eat cake, bitches.
Sounds so good.
Cake and beer.
Yeah.
Mm. I'd be okay with pulling out the red ale or red lagers. And...
Yeah. I'm always down.
Red beer.
Red rum.
Oh.
Danny's not here, Mrs. Torrance.
Well, let's get back to our regularly scheduled program with Off the Shelf.
Yay.
Yay.
Off the Shelf brought to you this week by Fanfare Sports and Entertainment in Kalamazoo, Michigan. You can check them out for tons of original art online at fanfare-se.com. Find them on Twitter. Find them on Facebook. And if you're anywhere in the Midwest, you should make a special trip to go see them. Well, actually, in the world, but the Midwest. We're like last week I said within a couple hours, so this week we're going to Midwest.
Expand it out.
Yeah.
I mean, when you come, you can go to lots of other cool places in Kalamazoo.
Hey, the beer exchange is actually.
I see sweet. They got some good bars.
Yeah, but you know,
and breweries.
Yeah, and if you are going to make that special trip, let us know, and maybe we'll even have a beer with you.
Yep, if you're buying.
Well, all right. I know that we had a huge selection this week to pick from, and we had a hard time.
Books came out.
Hard time narrowing them down, but
I'm pretty sure that when Fanfare got their all their books this week, that it showed up in a lunchbox. There you go. That's everything. It was. Maybe 8 books released this week.
Yeah,
it was
a thin week. But then again, Wednesday was Christmas, so
and
no, people are spending money on other things.
It's not like they were working on the book on Tuesday to get it shipped out.
I don't know.
Actually, I know they weren't because they got shipped on and were ready for sale on Tuesday. But
well, whatever. I'm gonna start this off with Origin number 2.
Why did you pick up Origin number 1?
Because that was years ago. So when it wasn't.
Well, no, this is Origin 2 number 1.
Yeah, this is Origin 2 number 1.
So he has a second origin?
Yeah, this
is. Can you only have one origin?
Yes. It's got Roman numeral 2, which means it comes after.
The sequel?
It's a sequel, yeah. This book.
Before we even get into that, it's already setting itself up for a sequel because he's only got 2 claws out.
Yeah. The cover is pretty awesome. It's the, what kind of cover is that called?
Acetate
cover. By the way, if you looks do pick plasticky. This up, a lot of spoiler alerts here on Off the Shelf, particularly with this book. If you get the acetate cover, really don't look behind the cover until you've read the book, because otherwise it gives away important plot devices.
You thought?
Yeah, I thought so.
And Kevin's wrecking my version.
Yeah, that's why you... Anyways, Origin 2.
We can buff it out.
Continuing the origin story of one of Marvel's most famous characters, Wolverine. This book was written by Kieran Gillen, who's awesome. Art by Adam Kubert, who is also awesome. Colors by Frank Martin, really awesome colors. And VC's Joe Carmagna as the letterer.
Are you going to say he's awesome too?
Of course. Awesome letters. So in the original origin story, it takes Wolverine from being a young boy named James Howlett. He discovers he's got claws, and basically he escapes to the Canadian frontier and ends up accidentally killing the woman that he loves, who was a redhead. And because of that, he hates civilized society. So he kind of runs off into the woods to become a wild man. This book picks up with Wolverine. At the time, he goes by the name of Logan, or the Wolfman, because he's with a pack of wolves, and they've kind of adopted him in to his fam and the family of wolves. They like him because with his two opposable thumbs, he can do cool stuff like carry meat back for the young wolf puppies. And they're talking about how he's really happy. So you know from the beginning, if Wolverine's happy, someone he cares about is going to die.
Was that the spoiler, that he was happy?
Yeah, that's a spoiler.
Okay.
And so this polar bear comes down way far, you know, from the north, but comes down and eventually kills the entire wolf family that had adopted Wolverine. And so Wolverine fights the bear and kills it. And in the meantime, the bear kills, and I do it with the quotation marks in the air, kills Wolverine. But Wolverine can regenerate, so he's alive, and he gets back up. But at the very end, you get a close-up to the bear's face, and he's been tagged with some kind of, like,
well,
tagged.
Yeah, they showed that.
They showed it
previous. But
yeah, previous, but now you get a close-up at what it says, and it says, subject to N. Essex, or Nathaniel Essex, or Mr. Sinister is the one that made this bear. So that's what the really cool reveal is, and why you shouldn't pull back your cover is because you get to see Mr. Sinister with his little diamond thing on the cover looking over.
But now you just told everyone. So.
Yeah, I told them there was a spoiler alert, so they know that it was coming.
So that makes it okay.
Yeah.
So spoiler alert, don't look at your cover, but listen to...
I said don't listen, look underneath the cover.
Until you just
You should have totally paused before you guys got this far, read your book, and come back. Come on.
Derek, question for you.
Don't make a newbie mistake.
When you saw the polar bear, did you think of one thing?
Lost?
Yes.
Yep.
That's exactly what I was like. And a polar bear, just... Okay.
Yeah, but this makes sense because a polar bear could be in Canada. It just come down from the Arctic Circle. No problem.
How does it get up from Antarctica, though?
Polar bears are Arctic, not Antarctic.
No, penguins are up there with polar bears.
No, polar bears are Antarctic. They're in the South Pole. Polar bears are northern. They're Arctic.
Yeah, and there are polar bears actually in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't say where in Canada.
Next you're going to tell me moose come from there, too.
Moosin.
Moosin and caribou or reindeer.
Reindeer are real?
Yeah.
And delicious.
All to say, I like it as a first chapter of the book. Not a whole lot happens to Wolverine except that we're dealing with him being a wild man out in the wild.
There's a Mike Tyson moment in the book. That's kind of cool.
There's a Mike Tyson moment
in the book? Yeah, where the bear rips off his ear.
Oh, bites his ear off?
Oh, yeah. Question, were you okay with $5 for this book, though?
I did not read it, just flipping through it. I'd be disappointed for $5 for this book.
Yeah. I
like the cover, so I'm okay with it. I mean, most of the books I buy are $4 anyways, so an extra buck for the cover.
Yeah, it got you hooked enough, but I don't think they needed to charge you that extra buck.
Well, you had to, because
fancy cover.
Yeah, that's a super fancy cover.
Yeah, but see, now, here's a perfect example. Why not have regular cover and acetate cover?
That's true.
They didn't do that?
Well, they had a bunch of variant covers. There's a really good one with Deadpool having claws, but the claws are made out of sausages. And instead of all the wolves in the background, there are a bunch of...
Deadpool dogs.
There's also a variant cover with Deadpool just walking away from an explosion, which... I don't understand how... I know they make all these Deadpool variants for...
Yeah, well, explain to me why there would be a Deadpool variant when it doesn't appear to be Deadpool.
Deadpool has variants for all kinds of different shit.
Yeah.
Just Deadpool, because Deadpool's funny.
Sometimes. Get
it? He's funny.
Sometimes he is. I also really like the Scotty Young cover, because those are always fun.
I didn't pay.
Basically, he's just Wolverine crouching and he's all hairy and stuff, and the wolves are talking to themselves saying, "Next, we need to teach him how to bathe."
That's cute.
It is. But I get what you're saying. The extra buck, it does suck, but I mean, it's number one. This is gonna be worth money someday, Derek. Money.
Yeah. Okay.
Hopefully, gonna retain its value.
It won't.
It's already
worth a dollar.
I've just come to expect that it's going to cost $4 or $5 for my comics. So,
Kevin, what did you read this week?
Comics.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How many?
I didn't read that many. How many? 15? 10, 15? Did we ever get a confirmation on how many actual books came out this week?
We're guessing 8, because we've already said that number a couple times.
we'll roll with it. We'll roll with it.
Yeah.
All right. This week off the shelf, scarfed up Forever Evil number 4.
You're going to spoil this for me because I haven't read mine yet.
Oh, dude.
It's Forever Evil.
Well, you know what? I say, in contrast.
Math joke.
To other reviews, I'm teetering on the verge of having some spoilers in here, but well, you should give credit here. Written by Jeff Johns, pencils by David Finch, ink by Richard Friend and Sonia Oback on colors. So, all right. So, for those who are not familiar with Forever Evil, I don't know who the hell you are. We got the huge crossover series from DC Comics, where we have an evil group of villains, the polar opposites of the Justice League, cross dimensions and enter Earth to start to take over it.
They're called the Crime Syndicate.
Yeah, they are.
Because it's like the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
I hear Crime Syndicate, I just think, I want to say that was just a lazy title.
Well, yeah, like you could come up with something super awesome, like the guys that are in Kick Your Ass Team or something. I mean, but let's just throw crime in there.
It's a badass team.
It's brand recognition. You know that these guys can't be trusted.
Well, I guess here's my thing. If somebody is truly evil, do they think that they are?
They're not
evil?
Supposed to. That makes them good bad guys.
I think they actually refer to themselves as evil. And
yeah, these guys are kind of twisted, and they like being bad. Makes them feel.
In this installment here, we have Batman and Catwoman hooking up and getting together, coming up with their own plan to take down that group. They're the Crime Syndicate. Meanwhile, Team Luther, composed of Black Manta, Captain Cold, Bizarro, and Black Adam, and they're coming up with their own game plan. So here's the mini roundup of Forever Evil number 4 of 7. We got Batman is vulnerable. Luther is awesome and tender.
That scene with Bizarro, man, it just broke my heart.
Power Ring, the Green Lantern alternate, he's a fucking giant pussy. Right. So let me elaborate here a little bit. Okay?
It's because his ring is powered by whining.
you're not too far off. okay, so to elaborate on these little summary points, who here thinks Batman is smart? Show of hands.
Wow, that's an awesome number.
There's only 4 of us in the room, but apparently there's 100 hands up. So,
well, okay. And I didn't bother raising mine because no one at home can see it.
That's why I wanted to know, like, cause I think he's smart, and you obviously by your lack of hand raising, you don't think he's very smart.
I raised my hand.
Or did you just raise your chin?
Yeah. So.
It's his beard fist.
Well, in here, they show him making a bunch of rookie mistakes. For example, he goes back to the Batcave. Now, everyone who's seen enough cop shows, read the news, or whatever, knows that if you're wanted, you got to cover that person's place, his home, if you will.
His girlfriend's trailer, whatever
it may be. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Now, Batman is presumed dead, so you don't... But really, come on. You don't think that place is going to be under surveillance? And that's what they do. They go there, try to pick up a few odds and ends. No, he's being watched. There are several other things that make you scratch your head and scream at the books. But what the fuck are you doing?
Maybe that's all part of Batman's master plan.
Maybe.
no credit for that.
Though the result of what he does later in the book is fucking pretty cool and almost deserves a late Drunkie Award nominee of the best and Badass's Single Panel of the Year award.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to believe that this and other instances of his mind lapse are intentional, as Batman is under duress. So I don't know. All right. Point number two. Does anyone like Luther around here? Anyone?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
I like Luther. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. I like him a lot.
He's all right.
Yeah. Damn those fucking Superman movies. Because I don't think I really care for them because of those movies. I fucking hate those damn movies. And especially everyone that he's in. However, once I start reading him and he's making more of an appearance, you know what? I'm like, okay, this is the real Luther. Don't go back reverting back to those fucking shit movies.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
Oh, man, but I'm really enjoying him and his company. In these pages, he has really been one of the last hopes on Earth, and he's really honed up to it in these pages. One of my favorite things in this book is that he has a great dialogue with Bizarro, which is heartfelt and really makes you care about Lex a little bit more on a personal level. The sequence is really well done, and super props to Jeff Johns on his work here. Now, another title that came out this week. Now, I'm going to go full circle here. Now, another title that came out this week is Justice League 26. Now, I would also suggest you guys pick that book up because it's another Justice League Forever Evil crossover title. Now, I'm plugging this book because it's telling you a little bit more of a backstory about Power Ring. And that issue plugs so well into this issue right here. If you're picking up Forever Evil by itself, it still holds water. But I'm just saying the two really connect together. So what I'm getting at is that he's a giant vag with a weapon. this is another excellent written element in Forever Evil 4. In the presence of an allies, he's a giant wuss. But when he gets in front of his adversaries, then he actually tries to be a real badass. And I think that makes for a fun character, especially since I'm a big Green Lantern fan. So we don't usually give out too many shout outs to letterers in this show.
Occasionally. But not super often.
But really, I'm going to fucking give a fucking drunk eye thumbs up to Rob Lee.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really think his lettering really did a bang up job letting you know how big his lady parts really are. Empowering. I thought it was really well done. I tell you, I'm really digging this series. I've resisted and I'll continue to resist picking up all these little side issues. Just because I don't think my bank I can't keep on popping down $3-4 for so many issues, but I'm sure if I picked them all up it would be wrapping myself into like a warm blanket. But I'm fine just with a nice sweater.
I think you missed one of the key parts of this though, of Bizarro getting his name. Did you not?
Yeah.
He didn't want to give away the spoilers.
Well, I'm sorry to talk about the best part, but I do have to say, for writing purposes and stuff, after seeing Bizarro Superman, no one's really called him Bizarro or anything. And in this, Lex says he's subject B-0. And Bizarro takes that later and, and he's like, oh, he doesn't even have a name. And then he just goes, Bizarro. And I'm like, that was a real, reading it, organic type of conversation that I thought that was just great writing.
Yeah, so he doesn't come from Bizarro World.
No.
Yeah. Well, you know, and yeah, if I were, I only read it cover to cover once, and usually this little shit like that, I won't pick up until the second or the third reading.
Yeah. But I haven't read it yet.
There was a, I mean, there was a lot in this that I kind of was thinking how Wonder Woman is a skanky bitch who's putting Owlman versus Ultraman against each other. Because remember back in, I think it was number one or two, she was going to Owlman like, this is your child. Wasn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So now it's like,
wait, who's Wonder Woman or Superwoman?
Whatever, the
evil Wonder Woman.
Superwoman.
Okay, yeah, yeah. You had me. I'm like, why is Wonder Woman a bitch?
She does the same thing with Batman and Superman, so I guess polar opposite. But this one, I was just like, whoa, what is her endgame now? Like, she's now telling Owlman's plotting against Superman or Ultraman. But and
it's I always, you put together a bunch of evil people together.
Yeah, self-proclaimed evil, too.
Yeah. Don't you think? Eventually, they all have their own...
schemes.
Yeah, they have their own ideas.
They're all criminal masterminds. Yeah. Part of the crime syndicate.
You know what I just realized?
Brand recognition. You can't trust any of them.
You know what I just realized is that that we technically could be all evil and not know it.
It's all perspective, man.
Mm-hmm. Fight the power.
Dude, yeah. We all got a little evil in us.
That's what she said.
All right, what other books we got this week?
So Superwoman said?
Tony, did you have anything you wanted to talk about this week? Because I'm skipping off the shelf only because of the four books I picked up, you guys talked about two of them, and the third book I'm saving for Indy, the fourth book I didn't care for.
Well, I'll talk about the fourth book then.
Because I picked up
the same four books as you, so why not throw it out there? Got Avengers, Rogue Planet number one, Marvel Now, Avengers 24.now.
Now is not a number.
That's just how they roll in this new age.
Next week it's going to be issue 25 point Apple.
Yeah.
This was written by Jonathan Hickman, who's been doing almost everything. A lot of different artists. Ribic, Larocco, Diodato, and Gucci.
Geis,
if that's...
let's try this again. Ribic, LaRocca, Diodato, and Geis.
So I only fucked up on the last one. Screw you guys. Letterers, Corey Petit.
Pettit.
Fuck off. Colorists, White, Martin, Mounts, and Martin.
Yay!
I can do those. And let's do the variant cover arts, because... No. I should say this. I was looking up, and it does look like there was only 8 books that came out. For the variant covers of this Avengers book, there was 18 of them.
Yeah. And they were, wow. Okay, here's what I don't get. They were all X-Men themed covers. I mean, is this because of the 50th anniversary of X-Men?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know the reason behind, but
is there a Deadpool variant?
I didn't see one.
But when I'm sure looking... There is. I thought that there was a shit ton of different Avengers books coming out, or I thought they were all, like, reprints of a story that, you know, oh, we got to just tell this story, so let's reprint it and put a... And I'm like, oh, and they're all the same book.
What I love is that you still just got the regular standard cover, and at least at Fanfare, where we go, all these variants were regular price, but you still chose just the standard cover. I don't understand that.
Because
I thought with all the different variants that the standard cover would be worth more. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. Because sometimes the cover art really does it for me, but I'm not usually, at, like some stores you have to pay an extra buck or so for the variant covers. So I wasn't going to pay an extra buck for
But in this case, covers. You didn't have to pay any extra.
Well, maybe not at your store.
Oh. Ooh, more fighting words of our store is better.
Yep.
Also, I didn't even know that there was that many variant covers until you guys are saying there was like 18 of them. Because this was just the one that was in my poll list. So,
yeah, this is. Although the one that I got I got the Daniel Acuna variant based on the John Byrne cover of X-Men 137. I think it was where, you know, it says Phoenix must die. But this one has has Vision and Wanda on the front, and it says Wanda must die. But my favorite part is that, you know, the comics back in the day where it said, this Marvel comic could be worth $2,500 to you. And then, like, on the old versions, you know, it used to, like, say, see details inside or whatever. In parentheses, this one just says, but probably not. Nice. I'm like, all right, I'm down with that.
Well, besides the cover, let's talk about what was inside the book.
The cover was the best part.
No, it wasn't. It's just because you don't know how to read correctly.
You don't know how to read the pictures, Derek.
Yeah, I certainly don't know how to read the creators' names.
Fuck off. So, I will say for new readers of this that picked it up as a jumping on point, you kind of get a glimpse of what's going on with how the Avengers team comes about, how they have the machine who has the power people, because pretty much anyone can be an Avenger, and how, depending on the problem, the machine will say who should get sent where, from what other team to this team, just to send the correct power. You know, if it was a small little crime, they don't need to be sending Thor. But if it's some huge god person, they're going to want to send Thor or Hyperion and a lot of other people. And so they're kind of talking about the machine, but also they've had a lot of shit going on, especially with the whole Infinity, with all these incursions, with everything that's going on to the planet. And now they find out that there's a planet-sized pretty much bullet heading straight towards Earth. Now, people who have been reading The Avengers get a lot more out of this. So I know, Derek, you kind of said it sucked. Had you been reading all of it, you would have said, this doesn't suck.
Yeah, but, you know, here, and this is going to be my argument. I think any good comic, anyone should be able to jump into. You're not going to necessarily get as much out of it, but anybody should be able to jump into. I haven't been reading Avengers. There was nothing here for me. And I hate being the guy that's dogging on shit, because I try not to do that. But there was nothing.
No, that's fine.
There was nothing here on this one for me as a new reader to be able to sink my teeth into. The only thing I liked was where they were talking about dumping Logan and Spider-Man from the team, because Wolverine doesn't have his healing ability, and Spider-Man's been erratic, I believe, was the term that they used in there. That part, I'm like, okay, that's cool.
You didn't like Tony Stark's future granddaughter coming back to save the planet, them chronosynchronizing the planet bullet towards them realizing someone had to have shot that at us, because as a Hawkeye's one power of...
Straight line meets trajectory, which means shooter.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much that was Hawkeye's
contribution. Hawkeye's contribution is he knows when things have been shot.
All those things right there create that mystery of who the fuck did shoot a giant Earth-like thing towards Earth, and why? Where did it come from? Did it come from?
I guess in this issue, I didn't feel any threat. Like, you've got a giant world-size bullet, if you will, aimed at Earth, and at no point did I ever feel like the Avengers won't solve it.
But that's what they're trying to show, is they have the technology, they have all this great stuff going.
But they were never worried either. They're like, oh, this
sucks. Because they're...
Somebody shot this at us. Let's play with our computers.
Man, how many things have they gone through? They're like, oh, man, another doomsday scenario. Well, this one's at least easier to solve. It's a planet. It's a rogue planet instead of a person.
Yeah, and I don't know.
I think it was mainly to focus on that computer system, that mainframe that made this whole team work. And to the reader, you can say, holy shit, they knew where to send who, what, where, and why.
They also had knowledge from the future about this. I mean, this is the big thing that I took away from this is that this is the danger was this rogue planet coming at you. What it does is this is the setup, is that one, in the future, things are going to get bad because now you've got some knowledge of the future with their whole time traveling crap and stuff. I mean, Franklin Richards was in the future, and it was really cool. Like, wow, he's an adult, and he knows what's going on. He's still trying to save planet Earth. But you've got some unknown cosmic entity that has the ability to shoot planets at you. And also, you've now synchronize this other planet with the planet Earth. And the fact that Tony Stark's granddaughter tells them this will be much more useful with your problem with the incursions has a lot to do with the other series going on. So I totally agree with you that this is not a book that you can just jump into and understand what's going on.
I mean,
but I totally think that Hickman is telling a more complex story that doesn't allow people to just jump in the middle. You're going to have to go to the beginning as well, to where it started.
It feels like this book is nothing but exposition to me. Like this is a means to an end. This mm-hmm. is, you know, but even when you have those issues, you need to have something that's going to hook people. And I like Hickman.
Yeah.
But I was not hooked.
That's fine. I mean, like I said, I don't think that this is I don't think that this is the part to jump onto, though. And I don't think this is the issue to hook people. This is the issue for people who have been reading it. To have some laughs as Thor is grilling things and have some get some future plot points.
Well, that's what I think. The revealed. Whole thing is future plot points, and I think probably one of the coolest lines in there was when his granddaughter is talking about here's a microchip. This will tell you what would have happened had we not just did this.
Interfered with the past.
This is going to be much better for your future, and then kind of disappears. Where I'm hoping they reveal that, because whenever someone time travels and they say, oh, if you would have made this choice, you know, this would have happened, but they never really tell what could have happened. I'm really hoping that somehow this forehand knowledge of had this day not happened, where their timely, you know, stream would have gone, and seeing the different choices and comparing them, I think could make for a different type of time travel book, even though I'm so sick of time travel.
I guess, yeah. Now, the one thing, though, too, and I don't know, Tony, Matt, if you guys liked it, I was not a fan of the fact that they had so many different artists on there. Mm. Like, it just, and maybe that was part of it, because...
Well, what's so bad about so many artists?
Do you not like artists, Derek?
The artists themselves and the art itself was good, but the problem with having multiple artists in there is that you never really got, like, a tone to the book. Like, I never settled in to, like, one single, I guess, feeling or emotion of how the story is arcing, you know, at where the peaks and the valleys were of the story, because a lot of times the art is doing that as much as the writing is. Hmm. With this many different artists on here, you never got into it. It just felt like a bunch of pages, and that's all it was to me. Hmm. So individually, beautiful. As a story, didn't work for me. So, but I like I said, I hate being the poly pissy pants, you know, because I normally try and talk about shit that I love. But yeah, I didn't get it. I just
well, we will fill you in on the gaps later. But that does it for Off the Shelf, because well.
That's all the books that came out
this year.
Yeah.
Except for this one. So let's just jump right into this one.
Okay, let's just go into Indie Turnpike.
Yeah. Indie Turnpike. Tony, you picked it up and read it. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those blurry lines kind of, you know, is it indie, is it not? Because it's an indie publisher of Dynamite, but totally licensed product of Robotech Voltron, number one. And... Let me take a peek here and see. Written by Tommy Yoon. And here's where I was like, wait, what? Art and letters by Digital Art Chef's team. But then it says pencils and digital inks. Well, what's the difference between art and pencils now? That's where I'm a little confused. But pencils and digital inks by Elmer Damaso. Yeah, and then colors by lots of people and letters by a few. And so this book is very simple.
Very simple, but also not complex. It's just simple. That's all we're going to say.
Once again, profound.
Well, you know what's even more profound? I just want to say the first two pages, man, that dialogue or the exposition just setting up from days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. Peace settled across the galaxy. On planet Earth, a galactic alliance was formed. Together with the good planets of the solar system, they maintained peace throughout the universe. until a new horrible menace threatened the galaxy.
Are you going to continue reading the rest of the book? Yeah,
you're on a roll, man. Just keep on going.
No, that, and there's a couple other things of when they're forming Voltron that it just made it.
The cool thing I liked about that opening part, though, is that it looks like it's on old film strip.
Well, and those scenes right there were, I believe, legitimately from the show opening credit. Some of them,
Yeah. Or in spirit.
Yeah, but it was... So, Robotech and Voltron. Let me start out by saying I only watched a few episodes of Robotech. I watched shitloads of Voltron. Same here. I didn't really know much about Robotech.
Yeah, there wasn't, when it was on syndication, it was only on very briefly, here in our market, anyway.
Yeah. What this book does very well, though, is it does introduce you to a lot of different characters, you know, which any number one, I think, should. And I think they kind of just go, hey, here's a person. And the nice thing with this, with the anime or manga style, whatever you want, you know, because it's based on the cartoon, but in the book, whatever. The nice thing with the style, it's always pretty easy to tell who's good and bad. You can just look at him and go, bad guy, oh, good guy.
Oh, they look at the eyes.
Yeah.
The eyes are always the big indicator.
The gateways to the soul, man.
Wow. But, you know, it's a fun book. I don't know where it's going.
That's the thing. As you were saying, it introduced a lot of people, and it did that, and it kind of set up how they introduced these people from this, and this. I didn't really get a sense of a plot, though. I did not see what is this story about. Is it going to be Voltron versus Robotech, or are they going to all of a sudden fight and then come together and realize that their common enemy is the same one, and then they go out. Like, really, Voltron got zapped through a warp portal, and then they show Earth, and...
Well, I've got...
And they just jumped to years later, where King Lothar has already conquered planet Eris.
Yeah, and I don't really, you know... There's a lot of shit in here that I'm confused about, and I'm wondering two things. Number one...
Is it because of your Robotech ignorance?
Three things. Is it because of my Robotech ignorance? Is it because this was translated from Japanese?
Oh, really? This is not...
I don't know.
I don't know. Or was this based on an actual cartoon series that they basically just, you know...
I don't believe it was based on a cartoon series. I would have heard of it in some shape or form.
I mean, I looked it up, and
I'm just confused what year they're supposed to be in, because it jumps from, like, now, and we have the galactic, you know, UN, pretty much, with the Voltron Force, Planet Eris, but then it jumps to 2009 on Earth.
And it doesn't really say that it changed from...
Yeah, so it did this warp hole that... All of a sudden, the Lions went through, sent them back to 2009? Or has 2009 always been the year with the Galactic Alliance? Is it kind of like just they're ahead of the time, so now is futuristic compared to what we really live in?
Well, and I'm wondering, like, why didn't they just say now? Like, why 4 years ago?
Yeah, and that's also a confusing bit, too.
Yeah, I'm like...
2009 was awesome, though. We had the recession and...
Miley Cyrus was still, like, not
pure, yeah.
not trash.
Yeah. And, man, I missed 2009.
Like, you barely heard about Bieber.
Yeah.
And then we got this book plot, so yeah. We got that going for it.
Take but, a I, you know, for as much as, once again, I'm being the
naysayer.
The Seamus shitty slacks today.
You could go change that and wipe, you know.
Yeah. This book was good, though. Like, I mean, not perfect, but it was definitely good. And if you are a fan of Voltron, yeah, pick it up. Yeah, and I'm assuming if you're a fan of Robotech, pick it up. If you aren't a fan of either, I don't know if you'll give two shits.
Yeah.
But then again, if you're not a fan of either, you're probably not going to pick the book up to start with.
Yeah.
Yeah, ultimately, I hope the next issue does explain a little bit of where they're going with the story, but I'm still going to pick it up because it's Voltron.
I would truly hope that as the story continues, you get more story.
I have zero expectations because was there ever really a story in the Voltron cartoons?
Yeah, they're fighting the mutants.
It was the Power Ranger story of...
They were the original Power Rangers.
We have a monster, and then it grows to huge sizes, so fortunately we have a giant robot to fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, anyways.
Yeah, so that's Indie Turnpike this week.
We've already mentioned multiple times there wasn't much that came out this week. Is there any news?
Well, there is, but before we get into it, there was one, and I have to bring this up because you guys will laugh at me. There was a book that came out by Image this week that I did not pick up. Strictly because when I opened it up, it was just black and white art. No problem with that. But it was that shitty, thin-ass paper again that I could see through.
Oh, see through the page?
And I'm like, I'm not buying the fucking book. So there may have been an actual real, good indie book that came out this week through Image, but I said no because your paper quality is poor.
Mm.
So suck it up and start getting better shit. So, Kevin.
That's funny. You're hilarious.
Hilarious. Actually, there's some breaking news.
Ooh, shit. Meaning it's breaking the news right now?
As in, but it won't break your bank account.
What?
DC's got, what? Kevin just won't laugh at me out loud. He's just holding it in.
I'm just doing my silent laugh.
Yeah. DC Comics has their 25 essential graphic novels on sale. I believe through Comixology. It's the digital ones. But they are only $5.99. And it goes through January 2nd. So you got a couple days. So
cool. Yeah, I'm reading this article. I'm like, oh, cool. They're cheap, but I haven't done it yet, but it makes me want to go to the library and borrow the books.
So you're saying January 2nd is an important day?
No, I'm just saying that's when the sale ends.
Yeah, January 2nd is a stupid day because it's Tony's birthday.
Oh yay!
Are you gonna be nerdy one this year?
Yep.
Wow, you old fart.
Old man.
So that's the news that I got this week.
He's getting old.
That's not news. Speaking, though, of birthdays.
Yes, yesterday.
Yesterday, at least as far as when this podcast is released.
It was my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mom.
Hey, you remembered it this year.
Yeah, because it's also Stan Lee's birthday, and he's 91 years old.
Yeah, wasn't it last year that you remembered Stan Lee's birthday and forgot your mom's?
Maybe. No.
I'd never do that because I'm the favorite son.
Well, I'm not surprised on that one. But yeah, so happy birthday to the man. And, hope he has lots more to come.
And happy birthday to Matt and Tony's mom, too.
Yeah, but not happy birthday to Tony.
No.
You guys are assholes.
Okay, from one of our favorite new portions of the news, Tony, you know which part that is, don't you?
No.
Rumors.
Rumor mill.
Okay, this is from The Motley Fool, or fool.com. So you can go there and look, because I don't want to get blamed for starting this rumor. But there was an article up there, and they don't quote or cite anything on here, which is why I'm citing The Motley Fool as this, because there aren't any other news sources I see that bring this up here. But they say that 21st Century Fox, and I'm quoting, has now decided to combine the Fantastic Four and the X-Men for an Avengers-style movie that could pay off huge for shareholders. End quote.
Fuck that. What? No, we don't need to have team ups. We don't need to
crossover movies.
That'd be cool, but
first they have to relaunch Fantastic Four in the first place and actually suck. Do it good.
But then the Fantastic Four has to meet the X-Men. They have to fight each other because they distrust each other, but then they realize that they're friends.
Yeah.
And then they team up.
Here's the hard part with that. I don't ever believe people would mistake the Fantastic Four as bad guys because they are mutants. The celebrated, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, that'd be a good plot point, though, having Franklin being born.
Ooh.
He's a mutant.
With Omega level powers.
So maybe that could be interesting.
Yeah, but first they have to reboot it and not do a terrible job at it. So this is way ahead. This is putting the horse the cart way in front of the horse.
I just want Kate Upton to be the Invisible Woman.
Why?
I don't know. I just want to see her walk around on screen and hopefully they do like one of those, oh, I just made my clothes disappear things.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. That'd be an awesome reboot. It would make a lot of money. Yeah, so, Kevin, you had something this week.
Yeah,
Superman's a dick. Actually, you've been saying that for years.
Yeah?
I don't have the article up anymore, but, apparently there's so much effort and time going into the Superman movies that any hopes of a Shazam project is fading fast. And I mean, like, yeah, you know, everyone wants to get it out now, but you know, give it time. Movie, they ain't gonna stop making movies.
And they won't?
No.
There's only so many that you can make.
They won't be making any original movies.
This is true.
Yeah.
No, the talkies are here to stay, people.
No, I welcome the idea, but honestly, I think once you start getting into the little more obscure characters, you're not going to have... People aren't going to come to the movie theater in strong droves. So I think Ant-Man is going to be a very interesting... strike that back. Guardians of the Galaxy. That's going to be very interesting to me. To see how that does in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if that's going to... if everyone's going to go in...
I didn't go see Thor 2 or The Wolverine in the theater.
And I haven't seen The Wolverine yet.
Don't.
No, I have to out of duty.
Drink heavily.
Okay.
But, I mean...
Saki
is that a matter of Sony doing a shitty job with properties, Marvel's being very tight?
What, as far as the Wolverine sucking?
Yeah, in terms of the movie qualities.
Oh, acting was good, production quality was good, story was terrible. So,
I mean, that's...
We'll chat more about this one off air.
Yeah.
Because I know that we're running up here on time because we spent... more time on nominations.
Which is hilarious because we're like, oh, this is going to be a short show today.
But we added shit. So, I got booze in a book, though.
All right.
Well, yeah, you've been drinking it the whole show?
No, actually. Although, I will say the Nomad Dry Hard Cider from North Peak Brewing is fantastic, and I have been drinking this the whole show.
And North Peak is based in Traverse City, Michigan?
Traverse City, as I heard on a commercial the other day.
Traverse
City. It's like, wow. Way to spell check that, you assholes. now, Booze in a Book this week are all eight of the books that came out. And the little bottles of booze that you get on the airplane or in the minibar, because there wasn't enough to really give me any kind of satisfaction on either side.
Satisfaction.
Yes.
Yeah. Confirmation.
Last call. Oh, we covered all the books.
Yeah, that's where we were saving time right there.
The first non-last call. We got the four books that Jared picked up. Then, yeah.
Yeah. And shit, although I will say, though, not bad, gentlemen, considering the fact that we picked up, what is it, roughly 60-ish% of all the books that came out this week.
I mean, we are spending a fortune this week on bringing you all those books that are worth picking up.
Yeah, it was a rough week, I gotta admit. But next week, back, hopefully full force, with lots of news and lots of books.
So, listeners, we will see you next year.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah, there's another holiday coming up.
Oh, God. And it's not your birthday.
No.
And I'll say, and unlike most of the publishers, we're not going to start over at issue zero or issue one in the new year.
Yeah. Oh, should we do an episode zero, an origin.
Good idea. We'll save it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Limited edition covers, though.
Yes.
Where we just talk about convention tips.
Yeah.
Because remember how, like, when we first started these
shows, I still want to come back to the convention tips.
We're gonna convention tips, and then
collecting tips.
We had, like, four.
Take a shower. That's still the best.
That is. Yeah. Axe body spray is not a shower.
It is not a shower.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys keep reading when your books come out this week, and we'll be back to talk to you guys next time.
Groomers.